ra ra ri Yasoda nandana bhajajana ranjana Yasoda nandana bhajajana ranjana Yamuna tirabana chari Yamuna tirabana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON B.B.D. Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Vishnupada Paramahansa Padavajikacharya, Stavtata Satashi Shimadas, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, Ananta Guri Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Sahadadas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sekaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nachinanda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasati, Govara Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gogopanath, Shyamakunda, Radha Kunda, Dita Gopadan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dan Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samabeda Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Angadanga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 18, entitled The Battle Between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha. And we're going to be doing texts 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. We'll chant 20 together because that has a purport. And I'll chant the others by myself and read the translations. Punargadam swam adaya brahmayantam abhikshnasa abhyabhyavad dari kluda samrabha dasta dachadam dachadam. Translation. The personality of Godhead now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again and began to repeatedly brandish it about. Tatascha gadaya ratim dakshinasyam bruvi prabhu ajagne satutam somya gadaya kovido hanat. Then, with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow. But since the demon was expert in fighting, O gentle Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. Evam gadabhyam gurvibhyam haryaksho harir evacha jigishaya susamrabhadav anyonyam abhijagnatu. In this way, the demon Haryaksha and the Lord, the personality of God, had struck each other with their huge maces, each enraged and seeking his own victory. Purport, Prabhupada says, Haryaksha is another name for her Haranyaksha, the demon. 19. Tayos produce tigma gadahatangayo shatravya grihana vrivridaman man vyayo vichitra margyam charato jigishaya vyabad Ilayam Eva Sushmino Mrida. Translation. There was keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. Brief purport. Here the earth planet is called Ila. This earth was formerly known as Ilavrita Varsha, and when Maharaj Prickett ruled the earth, it was called Bharat Varsha. Actually, Bharat Varsha is the name for the entire planet, but gradually Bharat Varsha has come to mean India. As India has recently been divided into Pakistan and Hindustan, similarly, the earth was formerly called Ilavrita Varsha, but gradually as time passed, it was divided by national boundaries. Okay, and we'll chant 20 together. Daityasya yagya vayavashya maya. Daityasya yagya vayavashya maya. Krihita varaha tanur mahatmanah. Krihita varaha tanur mahatmanah. Kuravyamayam dvisator vimardanam. Kuravyamayam dvisator vimardanam. Didrikshur agad rishibir vritaswarat. Didrikshur agad rishibir vritaswarat. Daityasya jagya vayavashya maya. Grihita varaha tanur mahatmanah. Kuravyamayam dvisator vimardanam. Didrikshur agad vishibir vritaswarat. Others, please. Vaishnavis.
Taichasya of the demon. Jagya of Jagya Avai Vyasya of the personality of Godhead, of whose body Jagya is a part. Maya, through his potency. Grihita, was assumed. Varaha, of a boar. Tano, whose form. Mahatmanaha, of the Supreme Lord. Kauravya, Ovidura, descendant of Kuru. Mayam, for the sake of the world. Dvisato, of the two enemies. Bhimardhanam, the fight. Didrikshu, desirous to see. Agat, came. Rishibir, by the sages. Vrita, accompanied. Swarat, Brahma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of Godhead, who appeared in the form of a boar. Purport. The fight between the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the demon is compared to a fight between bulls for the sake of a cow. The earth planet is also called Go, or cow. As bulls fight between themselves to ascertain who will have union with a cow, there is always a constant fight between the demons and the Supreme Lord, or his representative, for supremacy over the earth. Here the Lord is significantly described as Jagya Vayava. One should not consider the Lord to have the body of an ordinary boar. He can assume any form, and he possesses all such forms eternally. It is from him that all other forms have emanated. This boar form is not to be considered the form of an ordinary hog. His body is actually full of jagya, or worshipful offerings. Jagya, sacrifices, are offered to Vishnu. Jagya means the body of Vishnu. His body is not material. Therefore, he should not be taken to be an ordinary boar. Brahma is described in this verse as Swarat. Actually, full independence is exclusive to the Lord himself. But as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, every living entity has a minute quantity of independence. Each and every one of the living entities within the universe has this minute independence. But Brahma, being the chief of all living entities, has a greater potential of independence than any other. He is the representative of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and has been assigned to preside over universal affairs. All other demigods work for him. Therefore, he is described here as Swarat. He is always accompanied by great sages and transcendentalists, all of whom came to see the bullfight between the demon and the Lord. Om aginata madandashya jananjana shalakaya chakshurun nalitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. So, as mentioned previously, this is a pastime. And by hearing these pastimes, we are connecting with Krishna. Just like the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, these pastimes are non-different from Krishna. When we hear these pastimes, we're associating with Krishna. The result of associating with Krishna is that it purifies our consciousness and helps us excavate the connection. We have an eternal connection with Krishna as his eternal loving servants, and the goal of this human form of life is to excavate that connection. In other words, to experience what that eternal loving relationship is. It's referred to in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita as Swarup City. Each of us has some relationship, some eternal loving relationship with Krishna, and by the execution, proper execution of devotional service, our consciousness becomes purified and that becomes revealed to us. So that's what it's all about. That's why we're doing these different things, you know, chanting prescribed number of rounds, worshiping the deity, coming, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all a means to that end. And it's very nicely expressed in many, many places. One particular that I caught my attention was in the Isha Upanishad, which the editors of the book in the back refer to as the foremost of all the Upanishads, the Isha Upanishad. So the foremost of all the Upanishads. And in the last verse, the person who's speaking in the Isha Upanishad, by the way, does anybody know who we're hearing from when we're reading Isha Upanishad? Well, somebody told me that, but I did some further research. In case anybody didn't hear what Jagachatra Prabhu said, he said we're hearing from Manu in the Isha Upanishad, but I did some research on Vanipedia, and apparently, what's his name? Chichsukananda wrote a letter to Prabhupada in 1972, specifically asking him, who are we hearing from? Who's speaking in Isha Upanishad? And Prabhupada said, the personified Vedas. So I don't know if Manu is one of the personified Vedas. If he is, then okay. But otherwise, it's the personified Vedas who we're hearing from. And in case you don't know who the personified Vedas are, there was another letter that Mother Jadarani, Shamarani, wrote to Prabhupada asking about that. And Prabhupada said, the personified Vedas are very elevated sages. He said, some of them are brahmacharis, some of them are grihasthas, some of them are very old, some of them are not, you know, young, but they're all very elevated. So that's the personified Vedas. And most likely we're hearing from the spokesman, just like in Sages of Naimisharanya, they had a spokesperson, Shonaka Rishi. You know, so here, another interesting point that the personified Vedas are, you know, they're important personalities. The Krishna book is 1,000. In the one volume Krishna book is 1,000 pages long, and the chapter Prayers of the Personified Vedas is 90 pages. So 9% of the Krishna book is the prayers of the personified Vedas. So they're pretty important personalities. So in the Isha Upanishad, the very last mantra prayer goes like this. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. So I remember when I was a kid in school, at one point, I can't remember what grade it was, but they taught us, you know, how to analyze a sentence and pick what's the subject, you know, what's the this, what's the that. So at least clearly to me, the subject of this prayer is reaching the Lord. Say, oh my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. That's the real main point. That's, you know, the main point of this prayer they're offering. They're praying to reach the Lord. So what does it mean to reach the Lord? There's the Lord, and we're here. We're not too far away. So have we reached the Lord? It's not referring to that. It's talking about what I was, you know, touching upon right at the beginning, excavating that connection, experiencing that loving relationship that each one of us has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you've reached the Lord. In other words, when you achieve Swarup Siddhi, when you revive your awareness of your eternal loving relationship with Krishna, that's what my understanding is of what means to reach the Lord. So, why is so much emphasis placed upon this idea of, you know, having a loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What's the origin of it? What, you know, where does it come from? Well, it comes from Krishna himself. You know, it comes from Krishna himself. In the Vedanta Sutra, there's a couple aphorisms. One is Eko Bahusham, which means I was one and expanded into many. And another is Anandamayo Byasat, which means hankering for pleasures. The living entities and the Lord are always hankering for pleasure. So in a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1966 in New York, when he was giving Bhagavad Gita lectures, he gave this example to illustrate this point, to help everybody, the devotees, understand this point. That he gave the example of a young man. Okay, I'm going to kind of fluff it out a bit to dramatize it. A young person, young man, say 25 years old, okay, and he's healthy, he's intelligent, he's, you know, graduated, everything, you know, he's qualified, and he's quite capable of taking care of himself. He's living by himself. He's doing very nicely, taking care of himself. He's got a very simple, organized life. Yet he wants to get married. You know, he wants to get married, wants to have a family. So Prabhupada gave that as an analogy. You see, that, you know, Krishna's the same way. Krishna wants to expand. He wants to share the love. He wants to, you know, he wants to share. He's expanding so he can experience these reciprocal loving relationships with his parts and parcels. Just like the ordinary person, he's getting married so he could have a wife and have a family so he could experience those, that loving relationship between the wife and the children and like that. So that psychology is, you know, is there because it's originally in Krishna. And sometimes we could even experience that ourselves, you know, that feeling of wanting to share a good thing. Like sometimes when I'm chanting my japa in the morning, when I'm up on the roof there of the Trader Joe's parking lot, and it's about like a, you know, half hour before the sun rises, and if it's a clear morning, it's really a beautiful color in the sky. And spontaneously, I always feel like, oh, I wish there were some other devotees here to share this with. You know, that feeling, I want to share this. So that comes, you know, it's a very minute, perverted reflection. But the idea is that Krishna has that feeling. He wants to share that love. And he wants to do it in varieties of ways. You know, he's happy to share that in a very reverential mood, or on reverence that's there in Vaikuntha planets. You know, it's a loving exchange between the devotees there and Lord Narayan. It's formal, you know, but it's the basis is it's a loving relationship. But Krishna wants more. He's greedy to experience different varieties of love, and that's expressed nicely in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4. I'll read a few verses from that chapter. Okay, so this is, whoops. So Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love, weakened by that sense of majesty, does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. However, if one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. He says, oh, my dear damsels of Vraj, your affection of me is your good fortune. For it is, Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. And says Krishna speaking, says, I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. So the Krishna's another name for Krishna is Rasaraj, which means he's the king of the rasas. He, the greatest enjoyer of all the different rasas. So, yeah. And that's Krishna's desire, and that's a big part of the reason why Krishna displays these different pastimes to attract living entities into these, loving relationships. So as far as this particular pastime goes, a week or so ago, I raised that question about was Jai and Vijay, were they acting under the influence of Mahamaya or Yogamaya? And I just had a couple thoughts about that. One was, once Prabhupada was, when he was younger, before, as a young man, he was participating in a play. And the director, his name was Amritlal Bose, and he was encouraging the players, particularly Prabhupada. He said Prabhupada was playing the part of Advaitacharya, and he was telling him, feel like Advaitacharya, feel like Advaitacharya, So Prabhupada took his instruction, and, he really tried to do that, and he said the effect was very good, that he looked when they performed the play and they looked out at the audience, the people were crying. So it was very convincing. But in the case of Jai and Vijay, as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu, and even though they were told, I think it's chapter 16, text 26. Oh, we might be getting back to another book. Okay, sorry. But anyway, they were told by Lord Narayan what was happening, what was going to be going on. But it's not like when they were in the body of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, or Ravana and Kumbhakarna, or Sisupal and Dantavakra. I don't think they were doing like what Prabhupada was doing when he was in that play, trying to, feel like Advaitacharya, feel like Hiranyakasipu, or feel like Hiranyaksha. It was beyond that, It was beyond that. They were, they weren't acting. They were thinking of themselves as demons, and at that time. Yet at the same time, it was so. Somebody might think, well, this is Mahamaya. They're just totally in Maya. But it was kind of like protected because the whole thing was explained, as explained to them by Lord Narayana in the previous chapter. They were going to, you know, three births and they were coming back. So, but while they were doing that, you know, while they were in those three births, they weren't acting like an actor. They were really experiencing being that type of a personality. Yet, at the same time, it was being overseen, you know, orchestrated by another aspect. You know, I mean, it was both Mahama. It's like a hybrid. There was the manifestation of, you know, the behavior was like they were totally under Mahamaya, but yet in the background there was this like a sort of a yoga maya control over the whole thing. So that was just some thought about the particular pastime. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Yeah. It's coming.
So what you just said, where is it mentioned in a text? Then there under on the background is Yoga Maya, and
yeah,
okay. Also another question: did they ever aware? Is you know, on the back of their minds, then they are actually still devotee or not?
I don't think so. I don't think any place in their mind they were remembering that we're actually Jayan Vijayan. We're just doing like this, to, you know, to please Lord Narayan or to please Krishna. I'll read it to you. Okay, here we go. The Lord, so the Brahman is, the four Kumaras are apologizing. Okay, and Krishna's response was, O Brahmanas, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me, and therefore they will fall to a birth in a demoniac family, but they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord stated that the punishment inflicted by the sages upon the doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijay, was conceived by the Lord himself. Without the Lord's sanction, nothing can happen. It is to be understood that there was a plan in the cursing of the Lord's devotees in Vaikuntha, and his plan is explained by many stalwart authorities. The Lord sometimes desires to fight. The fighting spirit also exists in the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how could fighting be manifest at all? Because the Lord is the source of everything. Anger and fighting are also inherently in his personality. When he desires to fight with someone, he has to find an enemy. But in the Vaikuntha world, there is no enemy because everyone is engaged fully in his service. Therefore, he sometimes comes to the material world as an incarnation in order to manifest his fighting spirit. And it goes on. Thus, Jaya and Vijaya was selected by the Lord to fight with him in the material world, and that was the reason the sages came to see him, and accidentally the doorkeepers were cursed. It was the Lord's desire to send them to the material world, not perpetually, but for some time. Therefore, just as on a theatrical stage, someone takes the part of an enemy to the proprietor of the stage, although the play is for a short time and there is no permanent enmity between the servant and the proprietor. So the Surajana's devotees were cursed by the sages to go to the Asurajana, or atheistic families. That a devotee should come into an atheistic family is surprising, but it is simply a show. After finishing their mock fighting, both the devotee and the Lord are again associated in the spiritual planets. That is very explicitly explained here. The conclusion is that no one falls from the spiritual world or Vaikuntha planet, for it is the eternal abode. But sometimes, as the Lord desires, devotees come into this material world as preachers or as atheists. In each case, we must understand that there is a plan of the Lord. Lord Buddha, for example, was an incarnation, yet he preached atheism. There is no God. But actually, there was a plan behind this, as explained in the Bhagavatam. So, I'm not going to try to really elaborate upon that, but just this was a special kind of circumstance. This was not like ordinary people being in Maya. There was, you know, something quite more to it than that, and as kind of explained in that verse there. Yeah.
So we cannot say then there were under, because you mentioned, you know, there are Maya, Maha Maya involved also, and Yoga Maya in the background.
Yeah, that's
to some degree they are also in Maha Maya, in material world.
So there's some living entities that are just completely in Maha Maya. They're not in that category. They appear to be as if they were just completely in Maha Maya, but there's a lot more to it in the background there. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, thank you very much. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.